secondary days, but it's still it's something what he's doing. Then you have just supreme and, you know, does that make sense? Things that are just, you know, the absolute truth, ones like that. Then those are then.
In other words, it's this primary that's very special. Right? When Paramatman and Brahman, then you're dealing with secondary names. Right? But with Bhagavan, then you're dealing with primary names. Because then the primary name means it's in relationship to his devotee. He also protects the souls in the material world by taking the avatar forms such as Rama and Nrisimha. In the spiritual sky, Paravyoma, one of Krishna's expansions, known as Narayana, is present eternally. After understanding Brahman, Paramatma, and the Lord of Vaikuntha, a truly learned person surrenders to the supreme shelter. Fully expert in the affairs of Rasa Vipaschit Brahman, Krishna enjoys eternally with Krishna and who's there? Supposed to be probably the devotees. A truly learned person surrenders to the supreme shelter, fully expert in the affairs of Rasa Vipaschit Brahman, Krishna. He enjoys eternally with the Lord, fulfilling his desires in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya Rasa. The Paramatma expansion of Krishna is described in the Bhagavad Gita. What need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is here indicating that this means he's maintaining the universe, a fragment of himself. So that means one is expansion, Paramatma, it doesn't take much of his potencies to manifest. And then he then takes care of this, you know, vast universe, then with, you know, his potency. So you're not actually dealing with, I say, managing the material energy is not a big deal. It is for us. We work very hard, you know, dedicate ourselves, do so many heavy, you know, very serious works to try to become Lord of the universe. But Krishna, with just a fraction of a portion of his energy, takes care of that. Right? And even then he has no interest, so he's just basically doing it for the benefit of the living entities. That makes sense. So it's not actually a big deal. The Brahma Jyoti as the bodily effulgence of Krishna is described in the Brahma Samhita. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets, with their different opulences and millions of universes. There is a karika to define the form of the Lord. Unlike the jiva, in Krishna there is no difference between himself and his body, between himself and his qualities. In his spiritual form, his body is his self, and his qualities are himself. Though Krishna is situated as one form of medium size, he is also situated everywhere. In other words, he's not too big, not too small. So it says medium size. Right? So he's not. Yeah. In other words, they probably wouldn't invite him for the basketball team. So. Right? And yeah. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says. It's also Isha Upanishad. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Okay, so he is special in that he there's no difference between him and his body. It is the same, or him and his qualities. He means his form, his qualities, right? His name, his form, his qualities, right, are him, right? And then he has, with the devotees, his pastimes. And they're his expansions, so technically they're also him. But because they're conscious, separately conscious, therefore then they're counted, it means they're, how you say, one understands it in this way. Right? One knows the oneness, but the importance in pastimes is the difference. Right? Does that make sense? There's a oneness in mood. There's a oneness in purpose. But the actual form of the pastime takes place because of the difference. Narada Pancharatra says, the Supreme Lord is endowed with all qualities imperfect. Probably imperfection. Without birth, maintenance, and destruction common to material bodies. His body is conscious, devoid of material qualities, composed of bliss. His form is devoid of distinctions between of body and possessor of the body, quality and possessor of the quality, devoid of internal difference. It has been shown above that... Okay, so that's probably the end of that. It has been shown above that Krishna Bhagavan, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, is the shelter of Paramatma and Brahman, and is the Supreme Lord. Now it is necessary to show how the Vedas indicate Krishna by secondary and primary reference, Gauna and Mukhya, and by negative and positive statements, Vyatireka and Anvaya. Okay. Gauna and Mukhya. Gauna means it's primary. Secondary. Mukhya means it's primary. Okay? Like that. So that's used many times, this kind of reference. Krishna is described by direct abhidha using the words in the Chandogya Upanishad. In surrendering to Sham, Krishna, I take shelter of the essence of his pleasure potency. In taking shelter of the pleasure potency, I surrender to Krishna. Chandogya Upanishad 8.13.1. Shavala means the variegated Sarup Shakti of Krishna. The Abhidha Vritti, or primary meaning of the word Sham, is Krishna.
In here, that negative or positive statement, the Vedas indicate Krishna by the negative or positive statement.
Well, negative means he is not, you know, how you say, controlled by the material nature. He is not, you know, these kind of things like that. He'll give example here.
Okay.
In the Rig Veda Samhita and Aranyopanishad, fifth mantra, it is said, the wise continuously see the highest form of Vishnu, the supreme form, perceived with spiritual eyes, is Krishna. Again, in the Rig Veda, it is said, I saw a cowherd. He never falls from his position. So that's negative. Right? He never falls from his position. Sometimes he is near and sometimes far. Wandering on various paths, he is a friend decorated with a variety of clothes. He comes again and again to the material world. Rig Veda 122-164, Shukta 31, Rig. In this Vedic statement, Krishna's eternal pastimes are directly described. It is also said, I desire to go to the houses of Radha and Krishna, where the cows have big horns and fulfill the desires of the devotees. This supreme abode of Krishna reveals itself completely. Rig Veda 154, Shukta 6 Rig. In this Vedic mantra, Krishna and Goloka is described very nicely. There are many more direct descriptions of Krishna in the Vedas. The Svetasuvtara Upanishad describes the Lord by figures of speech, Lakshana Vritti. There is no one greater than him. There is no one smaller or larger than him. By this person, everything becomes complete. He is situated firmly like a tree surrounded by effulgence. No one greater than him, no one smaller than him. You're dealing with the negative. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
By this person, everything becomes complete. He is situated firmly like a tree surrounded by effulgence. Katyupanishad says, just as the element fire enters the world and takes the form of many similar fires, the Supreme Lord, the soul of all souls, enters the material world as many jivas. That which is like the original but dependent is called counter-image or pratibimba. Though the jiva is an expansion of Paramatma and thus similar, it can never become the original, being situated at a distance from the original. As the sun particle is situated in its eternal rays, so Paramatma has the jivas as his expansions. Ishavashu Upanishad says, O my Lord, sustainer of all lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. Isha Upanishad 15. One cannot see the Lord without pure bhakti. Pure bhakti does not arise without the mercy of the Lord. In this verse, the devotee pleads for the Lord's mercy. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, the soul is the honey for all living entities. He is the Lord of all living entities, the King of all living entities. Oh, this soul is the honey. So this should be a capital S. So many of these in here aren't capital. Okay, that's 2.5.14.15. Here are the scriptures you saw before also on that first page we started on.
The end?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it says Lord should be capital, controller, creator, Lord of the universe, maintainer, protector. Right, because those are all, what do you call it? You know, and before that also. His pastimes, you know, the paragraph before, all the he's and his and all that. They also need to be capitalized, you know.
Maharaj, there's so many of these shlokas, they prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And so what's so hidden in the Veda? How is it hidden that people...
People won't take it directly. And so they'll interpret. And it's like this. If I have 50 verses that are talking about, you know, something else, and then one verse that says something different, right? You know, I say I have one topic, and 50 verses are talking on the topic in one way, and one verse talks in a different way. What will I take?
The 50,
yeah. So like that. That's the difficulty. You know, it's like there's 100,000 verses in the Mahabharata. 25,000 are about the Pandavas. Right? So and then of that, you see, when it's actually about the Pandavas, they're always interacting with Krishna. But how many people who read the Mahabharata then surrender to Krishna? No, because there's 75,000 verses that are on all kinds of other things. So they even don't necessarily think that the Mahabharata is about the Pandavas. You know what I'm saying? Pandavas are major stories in there, but there's so many stories there. Right, but the book is about the Pandavas. It means they'll all agree that the Pandavas are described there. Does that make sense? Like that. But their interaction with Krishna may not be brought out. Does that make sense? Also, then you have the potency. The potency covers, and then because it covers, then you can't understand it. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then when Lord Chaitanya comes, he removes that covering so then he can very easily see the essence. Because otherwise before that, it couldn't be seen. You know, like when Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all these verses, he knew these verses, but they didn't mean anything to him. Then after having seen Lord Chaitanya, then he understood what these verses meant. You know, about how the Lord would come and his avatar and all these different things. Then he understood that here is that avatar. Is it okay?
Yes.
Okay. Here the scriptures are hinting at Krishna by describing his quality. Krishna is described as the sweetness of all living beings, the Lord and King. Atmahi refers to Krishna. This is the usage in the Bhagavatam as well. Right here, because he says, Atma, which refers to as Krishna, because otherwise then they might not understand. O King, understand that Krishna is the soul of all souls of the universe. Right. So anytime it's talking about him, it'll always be capital. It'll be the soul, capital, of all souls. That'll be small. Right. That soul is without sin. That's what we capital. Without old age, without death, without lamentation, without hunger, without thirst, fully truthful, and whose wish is always fulfilled. If he desires friendship, by his wish, friends appears, and with them he can obtain satisfaction. Chandogya Upanishad, yes.
Maharaj, isn't it just the body becomes old, dies, lamentation, hunger?
Yes, but the living entity thinks he is that. And because of that, then he suffers from old age, death, you know. Otherwise, why is lamentation there? Hunger, all these different things, they don't bother. Right? So it's not that it's, you could just say it's just the body, because the soul identifies with it. But the point is Krishna's body doesn't do that anyway. It doesn't get old, it doesn't have death. There is no hunger, thirst, you know. Does that make sense? You know, the living entity, what he desires, he's trying to fulfill. Krishna just desires that it happens. Does that make sense? I surrender to the energy of Shyam through Shyam. I surrender to Shyam through his energy. The Vedas indicate Krishna by negative or contrary statements, Vyatireka in many places, Katha Upanishad. Neither sun, moon, stars, lightning, what to speak of fire can reveal the Supreme. Rather, all the luminary objects in accordance with the Lord receive their own existence. Everything rests on the existence of the Lord. Right. Okay. I know that great person is transcendental to the material world, self-illuminating like the sun. The jiva, knowing him, surpasses death. There is no other path for crossing death. His hands and feet are spread everywhere. His eyes, head, mouth, and ears are everywhere. He exists, spreading himself in all things. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 3:8:16. His form is beyond material sense, perception. No one can see him with material eyes. Those who, by meditation, know him, who is situated in the heart, attain liberation. Svetashvatara Upanishad 4:20.
Is this meditation would be aparoksha or adoksha?
Depends on here, but it means the words that they're using, then you're seeing his potency everywhere. So that would be the adhoksaja. Like that. Does that make sense? So you're gaining it by understanding how Krishna has entered into everything. Right? Is that okay? In this manner, the Vedas give abundant descriptions of Krishna by figurative gona and contrary vyatireka statements. The literal, mukya, and supporting anvaya statements can be recognized as such only by the power of Krishna's spiritual energy, or chit-shakti. Right. So in other words, the direct and the contrary, then those are pretty straightforward. But then, here it's saying that. It's saying, in this way, that so many ways Krishna is described. But whether it's direct or supporting, these statements can only be understood by the power of Krishna's chit potency. Right? So unless one is coming into parampara, one can't understand it. So that answers your question also. So even though they can see the words, they won't understand it that way, because the chit potency is not there. Okay?
Yes.
In the prayers of the personified Vedas in the Bhagavatam, it is said, O Krishna, you destroy the energy of Maya called Aja, which gives rise to the three modes of nature, full of fault. Through your own energy, you are the Lord of all powers. You awaken all the energy of the moving and non-moving entities. The Vedas describe you in two ways. When you operate with Maya Shakti, you are described in one way. And when you use your internal energy, or Atma Shakti, in performing Vraja Lila, you are described in another way. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87:14. Right? In other words, when he's doing all these great things, you know, the elements of Brahman and Paramatma, then he's described in one way. You know, it's the Lord, it's the Master, it's like this. When he's described in his pastimes with his devotees, especially here then in Vraja Lila, he's described in another way. Right? Then it's the sweetness, that interaction, that kindness, so, like that kind of element. Does that make sense? This Karika summarizes the point. One cannot see anywhere in the scriptures acts as glorious as Krishna's pastimes, such as his conquest of Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, the rasa dance, or the bringing together of his guru and his lost sons. Therefore, the devotees say that Krishna's supremacy is self-evident, or as Svetasvatara Upanishad says, "You are the Lord of all other controllers, such as Brahma and Shiva. You are the Lord of all the devatas, such as Indra. You are the Lord of all the Prajapatis. You are the superior to the Supreme. We know you as the worshipable Lord, master of all worlds, and absorbed." And absorbed. He's absorbed in his pastimes. Just like the other things, you know, this part's missing. Chapter 4. Krishna is endowed with all energy. So we see that was, then Krishna is the absolute truth. So it establishes in his place and how everyone, means only by his grace can you understand him. The Shastras are also talking about him, right, establishing his presence. And then there's made a difference between him and his pastime. It means his pastimes in the material world and his pastimes in the spiritual world. Here it's always his greatness, his power, his glory. Right? Chapter 4. Krishna is endowed with all energies. The topic of energy and the possessor of energies has been under discussion for a long time. Some people say that whatever is seen in the universe is but a manifestation of energy. They doubt whether there is anything other than energy. Energy is the revealer of things. The things themselves cannot be realized, but are perceived only through their energy. Among the examples they give, the following one. Right? It's just like you have Vaishasika, then his thing is atoms, so it's just energy. Right? That's all there is. Earth has various qualities. What we call earth is but a collection of those qualities. One cannot say whether earth exists or not after taking away the qualities. Qualities are energy, therefore energy is the only principle of existence. But here, one cannot say whether Earth exists or not after taking away the qualities. But the point is they can't say or not. So why are they coming to the conclusion? Right? They're saying, since you can't say or not, therefore it's like this. Right? It has its qualities, but those qualities are what you perceive. This existence is there. So therefore we can see that if this is the principle like that, that means then the qualities are always there. But there's still a source of those qualities. Right? Those qualities are coming from the earth. Earth may be described by the qualities, but still the qualities are dependent upon the earth. Right? So, you know, it's just, in other words, they're very intelligent, but not quite enough. Right? They just fall short there. Others counter this argument by saying that energy has no separate existence. It is an inseparable nature of the object. What the object reveals is called energy. So in other words, the object has energy, not that energy is support of the object. That's just like, Paramartha Guru, he had one disciple who went to get butter. So then he got the butter and a leaf cup, and he's bringing it back to the ashram. And then he's contemplating, now this butter is being held up by the leaf cup, right? But the reason the leaf cup is there is the butter. So which is actually the support, the butter or the leaf cup, right? So in this, then he decided if he turns the cup upside down, if the butter is actually the support, then it will, you know, nothing will happen. But if it's not, if the leaf cup is the supreme, then the butter will fall out. So of course the butter fell out like that, so.
So he brought the superior.
Huh?
He brought the superior.
Yes, so he brought back the leaf cup. And so in this way, then they prepared lunch. So, these kind of disciples are not very important. The great devotees have concluded that energy, quality, is one entity, and the possessor of energy, object, is another entity. Though they are different, they are yet inseparable. Because man's mind is limited, he cannot understand the deep relation between the energy and the energetic. Right? So he's saying because of the limitation, one cannot understand by one's own intellectual methods, right? Some people, they get very upset I can't understand it, therefore it doesn't exist. So that means, okay, it's something you don't understand doesn't exist. So that means, so for the common man, that means he can't understand quantum physics. Does that mean it doesn't exist? You know, so the point is it's simply pride that we say that. So we have to understand there is the object and then the qualities that it has. Both exist simultaneously. Right? Same time, the qualities are dependent upon the object for their existence, right? The energy always comes from the energetic, like that. But if one can't understand, then don't be too disturbed. It's just that the mind and intelligence is limited, right?
Yes. It's like if you don't understand death, then you don't die.
Ah, yes, I don't understand death. Like little kids, they don't understand death, so they nothing happens to them. The object and its energy, though distinct, are yet not different. Difference and non-difference coexist. This inconceivable difference and non-different nature between an object and its energy is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus Radha and Lord Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. C.C. Adi Lila 4.96.98. Right? So Radha and Krishna eternally exist. It's just, but they take these two different forms so that they may have pastimes. Right? Therefore, when the Lord is one, then it's still Krishna with Radha there. Does that make sense? Because it can't be Lord Chaitanya as the original one, because that means he's already tasting Radha and Krishna's pastimes having already been manifest. Does that make sense? So you have a bit of a chronology here. Krishna's energy are non-different. He expands his energy, then tasting that pastime, that then he comes as Lord Chaitanya to taste what his energy tastes, because otherwise he already knows what it is himself to be, you know, from his perspective, what it is being one with the energy. But he doesn't know what it's like being, he knows his view from the energetic, he doesn't know what the view is of the energy.
So can it be also like in aspect of Bhagavan? So Krishna actually, he manifests also interactions. As a Brahman, so Krishna is there, but there is not necessarily interaction. That's why it looks like that he is. He may not have qualities.
Yeah, you could, but I don't. But they're not really looking at relationship as being the basis. They're looking at relationship as mundane. So because he has no, there are no seeming interactions because there's no relationship, therefore the Brahman is supreme. Right? That's what they're taking. As opposed to that Brahman is subservient to Krishna. Krishna is supreme because he is the source of those qualities. Those qualities are, the effulgence of those qualities is the Brahman. Right? But because they only understand mundane relationship, they don't understand spiritual relationship. Therefore, Brahman is higher than mundane relationship, so therefore it's supreme. They don't understand it's subservient to Krishna, you know, who is the supreme enjoyer of relationship.
And don't the Mayavadis also look for relationships? They say that, okay, I'm Brahman or I'm God.
Yeah, I mean they do, but it's not official. It means they like to be God and everyone respect them as God. But why would they be interested in that taste of being respected as God if everybody's God? So it's not important, it's just another taste. Does that make sense? So that's why there's cheating, that's why there's mistake, that's why there's, because even though they try so hard, there's still something wrong in what they do. There's still something wrong. So as far as getting out of the material world, they have a fairly good idea. But the problem is it's not complete. because the living entity being conscious, then he needs to be conscious and interactive. So then when he is conscious, then there'll be a difficulty because he's only has been conscious in the material world. So when he becomes conscious of interaction, of relationship, then he'll only think of the material world, and immediately he'll fall from Brahman into the material world again. So that's what the limitation is. So it's great for getting you out of the material world, but it's not great for keeping you out of the material world. The only way to keep out of the material world is to get into the spiritual world. Right? But of the two, getting out of the material world and getting into the spiritual world, getting out is just, you know, giving up, you know, an annoyance. But getting into the spiritual world, that's actual positive. Right? That's the natural position of the living entity. Right? That's where he's supposed to be. So getting out the material world is only part of situating himself in his natural position. Like that. Does that make sense? This conclusion can be found in the Veda and Vedanta. In the scriptures, the following statement is seen. Shakti, Shakti Mator, Abheda. Right, so the Shakti and the Shaktiman are Abheda, they're non-different. The energy and the energetic are non-different. Actually, there's no object except Krishna. For that reason, Krishna is called Advaya, or without a second. Those who are dedicated to Brahman or Paramatma, however, cannot easily identify Krishna as the supreme object. In other words, you catch what he's saying here. This is we're using the term object in another way. It's not being grammatically used here. Object meaning that he is the only object. Everything else is qualities. Everything else is energy. He is the only object. Everything else is energy. Right? Does that make sense? So then... Yeah. Those who are dead. Okay. Although the object is one only, that one object appears in three different ways according to the qualification of the observer of the object. Right. So,
do the other people say like those who have the goal of Brahman or Paramatma? So, do they consider the Brahman as object?
Yes. It's just said here is that this object appears in three ways. So, as Brahman, as Paramatma, as Bhagavan. So the fullest understanding of the object is Bhagavan, because then you understand all his qualities and all his pastimes. Otherwise, with Brahman, there's only, you know, seeming experience of qualities, but there's no specific qualities. Right? Through it, then you're able to get all the qualities of this world, all the experiences, right? Paramatma, then everything's being controlled in that, but there's no pastimes with him. So he's just the Lord, right? The controller, the maintainer, the destroyer, like this. Only with Bhagavan, then you have the actual pastimes. Mm-hmm. Then it works very nicely. Yeah? Three people may view a mountain from three different angles. On the north side is mist. The person viewing from the north side discerns the mountain as a huge peak surrounded by mist. Bright sunlight is falling on the southern side. The person who views from the south side sees the mountain as an effulgent rock wall. The person who views the mountain from the side without any external influences sees the complete mountain clearly. He sees the actual mountain. In perceiving the absolute truth as well, learned men see the truth differently according to their different points of view.
Can we apply the analogy like that a blind man not see the elephant?
Yeah, that's there, but then you don't have someone who's actually seeing. So that's why they're using this one. Mm-hmm. It means is you're coming up with different things, different ideas of the same absolute, and they come up with different ideas. But that would be here as he's trying to show is this Paramatma, Bhagavan, and like that. So in other words, one sees the peak, but with the mist. So. He, you know, it's not, the other one just sees it as bright light, you know, one sees it as a little bit of a, like even an element that is like a mountain, but it's mainly mist, but one who doesn't have it from any influences of the mist or of the sunlight, the bright sun, then is able to see the mountain in its completeness. Does that make sense? So this analogy works like that. That other analogy would be, because there no one's seeing it properly. That's it. So it means it shows, it's expanding on how you get different perspectives, but it's not showing the three, you know, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So that's what this one is. This one is doing. Those who cultivate knowledge and try to see the absolute conclude that the absolute truth, which is the opposite of material existence, is devoid of form, change, energy, and action. This they call Brahman. So they're trying to cultivate knowledge and see the absolute truth. So it's through knowledge you're trying to see the absolute truth, not through service, through devotion. Right? Knowledge is important, but it's not the knowledge itself that will reveal the Lord, because he's transcendental. So therefore, knowledge cannot approach the Lord. Right? The Lord being all things, he can reveal himself through knowledge. Right? But that knowledge has to be in connection with the Supreme. It has to come in parampara. It has to be heard with the proper faith and attention. Right? Then that knowledge will reveal. Right? So it's actually the faith that's revealing. Like that. The faith, the devotion. Like that, the chit potency reveals. So that's why they can't understand. Right? It sounds great. Yes, through my intelligence I'll understand, or through my work I'll understand. You know, but it's not. It's neither of those. It's through one's devotion that one understands. And the medium may be work or knowledge. Right? However, they have not discerned the real nature of the ultimate truth. Those who are using their intelligence search for the final object, perceive the friend of the soul, Paramatma, endued with a form and similar in nature to the individual soul. Those who see the absolute truth by means of bhakti yoga, whose vision is without obstacles, understand the Lord as he is, Bhagavan, full of all energies, all sweetness and all opulence. Okay. So we see here is those cultivate knowledge, try to see the absolute truth. Then they're concluding that the absolute must be the opposite of the material, right? Material is mundane, so spiritual must be the opposite. So therefore, Lord has no qualities or anything. So they try to see him in Brahman. Though they don't really, they can't actually understand his real nature. Because he's a person, but that they can't discern. Then those who are in Paramatma, then they see that he is the friend of the living entity, because he has a form similar to the living entity. So he's still coming from himself. You're still going from your experience, right?
Maharaj, how will you explain similar in nature to the individual soul?
So the form and similar in nature means that he looks like we look like. So they're able to relate. It's a friend, you know, because there has to be something common to be a friend.
So does it mean that Paramatma, he deals with us according to our nature? That's what he shows out? And that's how, according to how we are, that's how he reacts?
I mean, that aspect is there, because they're still using their intelligence. Right? They're not, it still hasn't come to the platform of devotion. Right? So still it's about the individual living entity and his search after the absolute. So one comes to the level of Brahman, the other to Paramatma. Right? But those who see the absolute by means of bhakti yoga, means through service, devotion, whose vision is without obstacles, means without any mundane considerations, understand the Lord as he is, as Bhagavan, full of all energies, all sweetness and all offerings. Because the others are still trying through their intelligence to use. So one is cultivating through intellectual, say, speculation, right? Okay, is the mundane, is this way, therefore the spiritual must be the opposite. Then we have the Paramatma, then they're using their intelligence, you know, they're looking for the final object, so they go through a mechanical process with their intelligence and then engage the senses and all. Does that make sense? They get to the point of dhyana or meditation. Yeah. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Surya Katha Upanishad. One cannot understand the Supreme Soul by studying the Vedas, or by hearing any scriptures, or by one's mental energy. The Lord reveals himself to the person who accepts the Lord as his master. That person alone attains the Lord. Right? So that means you can't, by studying the Vedas, by hearing many scriptures, or by one's mental energy. That's not how you'll understand the Lord. Right? It's one who accepts the Lord as his master. Right? Then he's revealed. So it may come through these mediums. Right? But it's not going to be otherwise, yes.
So according to Bhagavatam, this definition of bhakti, that it brings natural detachment and knowledge. Which knowledge are you talking about?
It brings natural knowledge.
And detachment.
Knowledge and detachment. Means one will have so much knowledge because, in other words, these others are taking their knowledge and trying to see the Lord. But here is, and through their renunciation, they're trying to be renounced, they're trying to use their intelligence to see the Lord. But here in devotional service, by rendering service to Krishna, then knowledge and detachment come automatically. Right? So the things that they use that are so difficult to try to gain and apply to see the Lord, they still don't see the Lord. So great difficulty. But the devotee without any difficulty serves the Lord, and then this knowledge and detachment comes automatically. Does that make sense?
Knowledge.
Means what kind of knowledge? Means what do you?
What
are the options?
Means
what are these options of knowledge that you're thinking that it can be?
I'm just thinking, what kind of knowledge?
But what kind? But you're saying what kind? You must have categories, otherwise, why would you be confused?
Yeah, because the jnani, they're trying to study that God.
They're still using the Veda and all that, but they don't understand it. They're detached, they don't understand, but they're not really detached from the material world, and they don't understand the Lord. But the devotees get the same knowledge. Doesn't mean that you'll be, expert at, how you say, the world champion pogo stick, popping or something. It means you understand the Lord and his energies and his pastime, name, form, qualities, pastimes, which they can't understand through their intelligence.
This is actually the causeless mercy of the Lord, no?
Causeless mercy of the Lord, yes.
So it's like when Chaitanya Prabhu was going down to south and he met the devotee who was holding the Bhagavad Gita upside down and crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he had actual knowledge, and the ones harassing him, though they probably knew Sanskrit and the Bhagavad Gita frontwards and backwards, they didn't actually have knowledge.
Because the knowledge is the realization. That's the real knowledge.
Say that realization is the real knowledge. Okay? There, so you get the... In the Bhagavatam it is written, O Lord, only those who attain a particle of mercy for your lotus feet can understand your glory. Those who search for you by studying the scriptures using logic cannot understand you at all. In other words, you're studying the scriptures with the idea that the studying is part of the devotional process, and you're going to use that knowledge in devotional process. Then, through that, one may see the Lord. Right? But those who study the scriptures and then apply logic on what they've studied, that they'll never see the Lord. Does that make sense? Yes, no?
Yes.
There's a difference here. Always in all these things, there's always a subtle difference. That's why we have to... Why these things sometimes are very technically described or analyzed. Because it's in this differences that makes a difference between whether it's devotional service or not. Right? If you have this whole wide range of activities and down the middle is a razor's edge, therefore, you need to be able to discern between these various activities. Otherwise, how you define that actual path? Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so then we'll continue with the next paragraph tomorrow.
Okay. Monday.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Jai Ho.
Once the main hut, all the other side huts are all established, we will have a very strict rule. They don't come into this building.
They have the line on the ground.
Yes.
They don't cross.
What do you call it?
Minefield.
Lakshman Rekha. They step across it.
Oh, yeah.